Hey, my name's Alex. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Alex.
My sobriety date's 8/20/13, and my home group is Young by the Book in Orlando. We meet on Monday nights at 8 o'clock in College Park if you're ever in town. I'm a little bit nervous because I only have gotten to really speak at rehabs, and everybody's eyes are a little glazed over, and they're kind of medicated, and on the by and large, you guys don't have that going on, which is kind of cool. So I grew up in Seattle, and I kind of grew up in AA. My mom got sober when I was like 6 months old. So all of my friends growing up were other people's kids in AA, and that's kind of like how it stayed. They were always my closest friends, and you know, one in particular. And I was always like a little bit different and didn't really fit in, but my family was really cool. Like I just grew up in like a very free to be you and me type of household. You know, there was always like an alcoholic on the couch, or like, you know what I mean, like some down and out woman that my mom was helping out on the couch, and like that's just kind of the household that we had. And my story's kind of boring and anticlimactic, I guess. Like, I was kind of like just a sad drunk, and my life got really small really quick. So I was like a really heavy set young guy, and pretty much, and like 250 pounds by the time I was 18, and you know, the only person that I was close with was this, you know, one childhood friend that, like, we had really grown up in AA together, like going to picnics and karaoke and stuff, like at one of the AA clubhouses. And she and I decided that we would take our first drinks together and do our first drugs together, and we did all of that stuff together. And it was interesting because from the very first time that we picked up a drink, when she was done, she was done, and she went inside, she changed clothes, and the drinking section of the night was over. And I went and I hid in the liquor cabinet at the house that we were staying at for the night. And, you know, everybody's like, "Where's Alex?" And they come and they find me, and I'm, like, drinking straight from the bottle, and, like, you know, it's a big mess when they try and get me to give it up. Like, that's just kind of how my drinking went. You know, I got to see, like, my first blackout was on camera, and it was, like, the same group of childhood friends that I grew up with, and, and it was kind of, like, just, like, what we would expect. Like, 1 minute, I'm smiling, and I'm happy, and I'm joking, and we're having a good time, and the next minute, I'm, like, holding somebody down by their hair and spitting in their face and telling them what a piece of shit they are. It's, like, unprovoked, which is the weird thing, you know? It's like they tapped me on the shoulder. And you know, I got to see it in the morning, and I apologized, but like I was drunk later that day with the same group of people. And I always did really well in school. Like I was really, I was like kind of book smart, a little bit nerdy. Like I said, I was really heavy, so I wasn't doing any sports or getting any action anywhere else. So I was kind of like what I had to do. And when I say that my life got really small really quickly, I mean, like, I picked up that first drink when I was 16, and, I mean, within a month, I had a handle stashed underneath my bed, and I was, like, it was, like, me with a pack of Lucky Strikes in my bedroom smoking and drinking at night. And I drank until I would black out, like, pretty much every time that I drank. And that's kind of how it carried on. I wanted to be a financial advisor, and this is like the same like nerdy kid that like had goals and aspirations, and so I got an internship at a bank, and I set up all of these retirement accounts, and I was like doing my thing, and I did pretty well, and I stayed within like that field and moving up that path all throughout my drinking. And you know, various stages got a little tougher and a little bit tougher and a little bit tougher to kind of keep moving up, but I seemed to be managing okay. And, like, just up until I wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, it crossed a line where I just kind of casually changed from, like, binge drinking and, like, getting blacked out a couple nights a week to all day, every day. You know what I mean? Like, where I felt like I had one up on everybody that was in line getting coffee in the morning, because I was in my car and I was on my way to work, and like I already had it and I was good to go because I was drinking on the way to work. And I was like kind of by a thread, and I was about ready to lose my job, so I made the decision to move to Florida. Kind of skip a couple steps there in between because I've only got 15 minutes, but when I made the decision to move to Florida, like, I had already basically lost my job, because if I showed up late another time, they were going to fire me, so I gave my 2 weeks right then and there, so that I could show up late the next day and do whatever I wanted to do, so, I couldn't function anymore. There was really, like, no change in my income up to that point, but I had gone from, like, being able to support myself and being able to drink and being able to manipulate my family members out of money and, being able to make all of that stuff work to, like, I couldn't even pay rent anymore because all of my money had to go to drinking. So I was living with my grandpa, and I was supposed to be taking care of him, and he was really, really sick, and I would treat it basically like a motel, but I wanted all of my family members to think I was, like, the good guy that was going to go and help him out. So I come home one night, and he's, like, flushed in the face and, like, purple and not breathing, and I just take him downstairs and I set him down in his chair and I get him some cheese and crackers and tell him, like, you probably need to go to the hospital. And he goes, oh no, I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that you do. But instead of, like, calling an ambulance or putting him in the car and taking him to the hospital, I go upstairs and I change and I shower and I get back on the road and back on my way. I texted one of my family members and filled him in so that they could go back, so that they could go and help him out, because I, like, couldn't be bothered. I think, like, it was somebody's birthday. And that was kind of, like, I knew at that point, like, it was beyond just, like, I'm drinking all day every day. It was, like, nothing really mattered, and I had lost the choice in whether or not I was going to drink. And there was, like, nothing was really off limits between me and alcohol. So when I got down to Florida, things did not get better. I cashed in all of the retirement accounts that I had started when I was 16, and I was, like, 22 years old. So I took a 22-year-old's retirement to Central Florida. You know, I showed up here with, like, 20-some-odd thousand dollars in my pocket, and it was gone in, like, less than 2 months. I think I showed up in AA as soon as that was gone, because by that time my family had already cut me off. Like, they were done supplying me with anything, and I got to AA. Like, I got to AA with, like, $300 left in my pocket, and my rent was due the next day. And I guess, like, the relevance in me telling you that I had kind of grown up in AA, and, like, I had, like, three different stepdads out of AA by the time that I got down here, was, like, there was no way that I could go to AA in Seattle and actually, like, show up to a room full of strangers. You know what I mean? So if I, like, showed up to AA and I decided that I didn't want what you guys have, you know, everybody in the room that had, like, watched me grow up since I was 6 months old is going to be aware that I know that I'm an alcoholic and that things have gotten that bad and that I'm just not willing to do anything about it. So I would show up to AA meetings up there, but I would never let myself go in because it was just too intimidating. But I'm really thankful to the people here that didn't let this be just a room full of strangers that I could turn around and go home and not ever hear from again, because, like, somebody called me every day. After my first meeting for, like, a week, and just asked me every day, did you get a sponsor yet? Did you go to a meeting yet? You know, I remember going to dinner with a few people afterwards, and they were smiling, and they were laughing, and they were talking, and, like, I didn't know how to interact with people, and we were joking in the car on the way here about, like, just my attitude when I was new. I was just kind of a prick. Like, I knew that I needed to be sober, and I knew that I needed to be here, but I didn't know how, and I didn't necessarily want to interact with you guys. So I got a sponsor, and I kind of, like, passively started working the steps. Like, it wasn't, like, what we read about as far as desperation goes, and I certainly wasn't a picture of, like, what's in the literature of, like, a desperate alcoholic that's willing to go to any lengths to stay sober. You know, I got through the steps the first time, and somebody had asked me to sponsor them, and I would bail on them pretty much every week, because I had something better going on. And needless to say, I didn't stay sober the first time that I got sober. So, you know, when I went back out, I didn't stay back out for very long. It was like a few weeks, and then I lied about it, and I didn't go pick up a white chip right away. I just kept on showing up to AA, which I think is maybe more miserable, because you're looking at everybody else that has this thing that you really want and that you know is available to you, but you've got like so many hurdles in between you and that. So, you know, eventually I got miserable enough, and I went and I picked up another white chip, and I found a new sponsor, and I really distinctly remember being asked if I was willing to go to any length to get sober, and like it, that time it really resonated with me. Like, I knew without any doubt left that I was willing to go to any length to get sober. And at that point, like, every day, like, I was either, like, kind of, like, manic happy, or I was, like, enraged. Like, can't be, there's, like, no such thing as serenity for me at this point in time, and there's, like, no peace at all. So, I don't think that any of that stuff showed back up for me until after I got through with my fifth step. Like, I remember having those feelings all the way up and through to that point. And it kept me on the ball, you know what I mean? Like, calling my sponsor every single day, like, pressuring him, like, when can we meet up? When are you available? And I remember, like, finishing with my fifth step and having everything that talks about, like, feeling that, like, closeness with my creator, like whatever I could identify as that at the time. Like, it was the first time that I had felt any sense of comfort since I had gone back out. And kind of drawing a blank at this point, but I don't know, like from there, like getting involved in service this time around, I got the opportunity to sponsor a new guy and like try and take him through the steps, and he didn't necessarily want to do all of that stuff that time, but I was willing to go to any length, to any of his lengths to help him. And kind of the byproduct of that was me getting involved in service, and I've gotten to like learn how to relate to people in AA outside of just like stupid superficial interest, but like based off of what our common purpose is. And like working towards helping another alcoholic and like improving in my effectiveness in doing that. That's all I really got. Thanks, guys.